is Patricia Mullins, Mrs. Joel Corrales, and Jessica Jennings. As one was said, we'll be defending the pro side of the current debate topic today. ACES and PPQ use a scientific basis for their regulations and import security programs. APHIS possesses certain strengths, such as standardized risk assessment procedures that are based in science and stringent requirements for quarantine procedures. APHIS also has a valuable research engine, CPHST, which is the Center for Plant Health Science and Technology. We acknowledge that there are inherent challenges that APHIS faces, such as the potential for conflict of interest between the government and the scientific community, and difficulty in complete and accurate implementation of some of their policies. That would be kind of important. Sorry about that. However, there must be a balance between the protection of the U.S. agricultural system and the possibility of foreign trade. It's very hard to have a perfect system.
I just wanted to let you know that Texas A&M is an undergraduate group. I'm very proud that they're up here.
Sorry about that, guys. There, this was the slide I was supposed to be on. Sorry about that. Okay. They also have international agreements such as ISPM, which is the International Standards for Phytosanitary Measures. These dictate the requirements for sanitary and phytosanitary policies. These agreements require risk assessments as the basis of any policies and regulations that APHIS makes. Science basis for these risk assessments is mandated by international treaties and conventions. These agreements mandate that risk assessments be carried out before the creation of any restrictive measures and require that the restrictive measures be universally applied and are not used as foreign policy weapons.
As Tricia just said, the international agreements govern many of the complexities of the SPS procedures that a lot of different agricultural departments throughout the world have to follow. One of the most important of these agreements is the application of sanitary and phytosanitary measures. This includes both how-tos for how to implement certain procedures. It talks about the different things that people can use, including restrictive measures such as black and white lists, which will either permit or allow commodities from a certain country of origin based on the scientific knowledge that's available on the growing conditions and the procedures that are followed there, and also quarantine treatments such as radiation, pesticide treatments, hot water or dry heat treatments. However, the most important aspect here is how these regulations are supposed to be created and promulgated. Risk assessments are mandated for all policies involving sanitary and phytosanitary regulations, and then these policies are then required to be applied evenly across the board. So you're not allowed to restrict something from one country without having the exact same restrictions applied to every other country within that same set of circumstances that is importing that good. So in short, this means that you can't put blanket policies down. Statements such as guilty until proven innocent or if in doubt, keep it out don't necessarily agree with this, because you need to have the scientific basis and then apply it evenly. And then as APHIS and PPQ are involved with the SPS regulations for the United States, they have a large share of the risk assessments that are done regarding these regulations. The risk assessments done by APHIS and PPQ involve both field research and then research into the academic literature, usually centering around 11 risk elements that are associated with the potential problems of each pest. And the data for each of these 11 elements is then evaluated by a panel of 15 scientists from both academic institutions and regulatory agencies to determine whether the risk for each element is high, medium, or low. And then there are points assigned to each risk, 3 for high, 2 for medium, and 1 for low. And then these are totaled up to come up with an overall risk, a quantitative risk number. And there are challenges to this. The models that are used for some of these things include some degree of uncertainty, and it's impossible to have complete knowledge of these species simply because of the fact that they're not already established in the United States, and there isn't really a way that you can observe how they react in the field. But this is a problem that's going to be encountered no matter how you look at it, and the use of models helps to fill in for some of these inaccuracies. And there's also going to be some bias inherent in the system, but we attempt to mitigate the bias through the usage of the panel of 15 scientists. And then the 11 risk elements are broken down into two sections. There are the elements addressing the consequences of pest establishment, which include things such as describing the geographic area that might be impacted by a pest, accounting for the diversity of domestic plants that could be affected by the pest, evaluating how far the pest could potentially spread and then how quickly it could move, evaluating the economic damage, which usually involves both lower yields, lower value of crops, and then the possibility of a reduced marketability internationally because of other restrictions. Then there's the environmental impact, which can be both through direct competition or predation of whatever the species is, and then indirect, such as additional problems created by the use of new pesticides or imported biological control species. Then the final six elements address the likelihood of a successful pest invasion, should they arrive here. And that involves, first of all, the quantity of potential hosts imported annually, because the more of a product that could possibly carry this species is imported, more likely it will be that will arrive here. And then the final five are the likelihood of surviving post-harvest retainment and transportation, the likelihood of surviving shipment to the U.S., the likelihood of not being detected at a port of entry, the likelihood of arriving at a suitable habitat, and then the likelihood of finding a host.
One of the main bodies that's responsible for performing risk assessments and other scientific evaluations for PPQ is CPHST, or the Center for Plant Health Science and Technology. According to their mission statement, CPHST supports PPQ regulatory decisions and operations through methods development work, scientific investigation, analysis, and technology. Basically, they provide the science that APHIS uses to make its policies. You could sort of say that they're the brains behind the brawn. CPHST is divided into five main divisions. Of these, the two most important to the topic at hand are the Agricultural Quarantine Inspection and Port Technology Program, which develops quarantine treatments, and the Risk and Pathway Analysis Program, which assesses risk for various pests and commodities. In conclusion, APHIS and PPQ create policies based on scientific risk assessments, which are in accordance with international convention, allowing for the possibility of reliable foreign trade.